The entirety of Isaac I. Stevens's incandescent but recklessly sacrificed life may best be understood as a classic case of overcompensation. One symptom of this tendency was his aptitude as a tireless communicator. In person, he could be talkative, at times insufferably so, and inclined to dominate the conversation until he got his point across. On paper, Stevens was likewise prolific and prolix, a compulsive letter writer and drafter of memoranda, some of them compelling reading, but at times long-winded. Much that he wrote survives in official archives, since he was employed by the American government for his entire adult life. His own writings, the responses to them, and the testimony of many contemporaries who knew and dealt with him form the documentary basis for two substantial biographies of Stevens. The first, published in 1901, is a worshipful two-volume compendium by his son Hazard, a Congressional Medal of Honor winner, but not a gifted litterateur. The second, a far more balanced and stylistically graceful account, is by a scholar and regional historian, Kent Richards, who subtitled his 1979 work, Young Man in a Hurry. Stevens's passionate striving for personal advancement, along with his patriotism, courage, and intelligence, may be readily gleaned from this mass of material. Ironically, though, Isaac Stevens is remembered today, if at all, not for his daring or any luminous achievement, but for his vendetta, aimed at destroying the last chief of an obscure Native American tribe. A man who was, so far as modern scrutiny can tell, a patriot no less devoted to his little nation, equally brave and just as smart by his own culture's determinants. In the biography by Professor Richards, the reader is offered a word portrait of Second Lieutenant Isaac I. Stevens at age 21, in dress uniform, fresh out of the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, where he ranked first in his class academically. We are told of a handsome gallant, with expressive, attentive, large, dark hazel eyes, thick black hair which curled over his ears and collar, a small goatee carefully trimmed, straight nose, and firmly set lips and chin. His good looks, a bit more seasoned but no less dashing, were also evident in a stylized lithograph of the Union Army's Brigadier General Stevens, 22 years later, proudly wearing a buttoned-over, high-collar military tunic with epaulets and wielding a spyglass in his right hand, presumably for surveying the nearest battlefield. Not disclosed by either the verbal or graphic portrait was the elegant worthy's stature. Stevens was born with short, stumpy legs, a malformation likely traceable to a faulty pituitary gland, and a large head that appeared out of scale with the rest of his body. Some who would later have to deal with his driving energy, stand before his commanding presence, and confront those burning eyes fixed on whatever prize he was pursuing at the moment, were convinced that Stevens was ruled by a casebook Napoleonic complex. It may well be a coarse simplification to suggest that his whole life played out as a compensatory reflex for his shortness. He probably stood only 2 or 3 inches above 5 feet, though no medical records survive, but of his dynamic nature, there is no doubt. He was an eighth-generation member of an American family that was among the first to settle the town of Andover, 20 miles above Boston in the Massachusetts Bay Colony. John Stevens, an Anglican convert to the Puritan sect, reached the New World in 1638 at the age of 33, and with his brood of 8 children, headed for Andover on the Merrimack River. The town, later to become the site of the nation's oldest and among its most elite private college preparatory academies, would remain the Stevens clan's home for several centuries, while its members coped with varying degrees of success as farmers, millers, soldiers, and civic leaders of their community. Isaac I. Stevens's grandfather, Jonathan, fought with the American Revolutionaries at Bunker Hill, expanded the family farm, opened a tannery, and built a lakeside mansion to house his 14 children. Jonathan's 7th son, Isaac, father of Isaac I, began grown-up life as a teenage adventurer, sailing to China, but was not enchanted by the nautical life. He returned to Andover to run a hay farm, a malt mill, and a general store, with an adjacent inn that served as a Cracker Barrel meeting place for local gentry, and a hotbed of political palaver. Isaac married Hannah Ingalls, a local woman of similar background, though more affectionate and religious by nature. Hannah had good sense, ran her home efficiently, and bore 7 children, 5 daughters and 2 sons, during a 13-year marriage that ended tragically.